Shop. 100% carbon offset power you can be proud of.
Singing Tradies, the best performer, gets a great prize today, a $250 voucher to spend effectively on beer and food at Urban Alley Brewery, Fief.
Yes. Now we've got Aaron, a plumber from Bond Beach. Hey, Aaron.
How you doing, guys?
Great. Good. Aaron, we're fired up for the start of our week. Funny starting a week on a Tuesday, isn't it?
No, it's good.
It is good. Now, Aaron, you're going to perform some classic rock. I mean, you two. I don't know if you two has been covered in Tradioki before.
Well, it's about time.
Can we hear the song?
Done. I love it. From Bono, from Bon Beach. good luck, Aaron. Take it away.
I can't believe the news today. I can't close my eyes to make it go away. How long must we sing this song? How long? 'Cause tonight we can beat us one tonight, tonight.
Here
you go.
Oh, oh,
lovely,
how about that?
Aaron. Real passion. You can tell you love that song, Aaron, don't you?
Fairly off key, but
we do.
Not the point.
One of their
Bond Beach. Yeah. Good spot.
It's a lovely spot. Yeah. Thank you, Aaron. Luke, a Bricky in Sunbury. Hey, Luke.
G'day, how you going, guys?
Good, Luke. Now, we knew you were singing this song, and Fev's been singing it all through the commercial break. He loved it so much. So
I was singing a different version.
Yes. Steve.
The elder Stacey's mum, Fountains of Wayne, and Fev was talking about Stifler's mum during that song.
It's hot.
Okay, Luke, give us a bit of Stacey's mum.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, we're ready, mate.
Let's do it. Stacey's mum. Got it going on. Stacey's mom has got it going on. Stacey's mom has got it going on. Stacey, can I come over after school? After school, we can hang around by the pool. Hang by the pool. Did your mom get back from your business trip? Business trip. Yeah. Trying to give me the slip. Give me the slip. You know I'm not the boy, the little boy that I used to be. I'm all grown up now. Can't you see? Stacey's mom has got it going on. She's all I want, and I've waited for so long. Stacey, can't you see? You're just not the girl for me. I know it might be wrong, but I'm in love with Stacey's mum.
There we go. I won't lie, Luke. There's a bit I wasn't familiar with anything you were singing, but finally you got to the bit I remember.
Brilliant. He gave the verse. He was doing his own backing vocals to the backing vocals. It had everything.
He was in the zone, I reckon.
He was. He was loving it. Great performances so far. Now, we often say call in with a duet or a choir. Call in with your mates. And we do have some tradies from Melton. Dave, Lachlan, Braden, some carpenters. How are you, boys?
How are we?
Hey! Guys, what are you going to be singing for us?
We're going to be singing Fireflies by Our City. I'd like to make myself believe this planet Earth turns
Three carpenters performing Fireflies by Our City is what no one asked for ever.
Oh, it seems to be amazing.
We're here now.
Have you got like one lead singer and a couple of vocals, or are you just all going to punch it out together?
We're all just going to punch it out, mate.
Oh, yes.
Love it. Okay, lads, off you go.
You would not believe your eyes if 10 million fireflies lit up the world as I fell asleep. Because they fill the open air. And leave teardrops everywhere. You think me rude, but I'll understand. I'd like to make myself believe that planet Earth turns slowly. It's hard to say that I'd rather stay awake when I'm asleep. 'Cause everything is never as it is when I fall asleep.
Well done. Who did the shushing at the end there?
Someone's still going.
Gee, I've got to say, Aaron, Luke, and then the trio, Dave, Lachlan, and Braden. tough call this morning, but somebody's got to win $250 voucher.
I don't think it's that tough. well done, boys. That was good. We love when you do a duet or a trio. Luke, you lost me a bit there, bro, but I reckon Aaron, a bit of you too. Bono from Bomb Beach. Hey, mate. What do you mean? He was the best of the worst.
So the trio have been dudded.
Oh, well, they... Wait, there was one behind. I didn't understand one word they said.
So Aaron from Bond Beach, who was arguably the worst, has won. I mean, it's all opinion.
He was good.
Well done, Aaron.
Well done, Aaron.
Hey, guys and girls.
Can you believe you've won?
Oh, God. Who knows, mate?
No, exactly. He was confident. Fair enough.
Right, Ryan.
Good on you. It's a great prize that Fev has awarded you, and congratulations to you. $250 to spend at Urban Alley Brewery. Good times, great food, and even better beer. When we come back after the 7 o'clock news, this is a whole new way for you to make a lot of money from the Fox, and you don't have to do anything.
It's
all the details.
Kind of a rude way to win money,
well,
I thought.
Well, that's the way you've interpreted it, okay. Fief. I don't know that it's that rude.
It's saucy.
Okay.
I just heard one word and I'm all in.
We'll reveal what it is after 7.
The Fox.
Now, I want to go back to last week. We were two shows in, Fev. We were up and firing. We were having fun. And then, my friend, you were taken out by your appendix. Now we've got you here. Can we hear how the day unfolded? So you left us at the radio station last Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
I started to feel crook on the Monday, on my birthday. I was like, really, stomach was sore. But it happened on the Friday when I was in Hamilton Island. Mm. And then I went jet skiing with the kids on this jet because they wanted to do it all week. So we went out. And then Jason, who I was with, we had the kids all week. So we planned on Saturday we'd go to the pub. There's a pub there with a tab.
It's you and your brother, yeah?
No, my brother. Just a mate.
Another guy called Jason.
Another Jason, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was your brother.
Oh, no, just okay. another.
Oh, Jace wasn't on Hamilton Island.
No, he wasn't.
So
I was
confused.
With Jason Cripps. Oh. And we thought we'll just have a couple of pots, have a punt. That's when I did my picture with the Palmer and all that. And I left straight after that because I started feeling really sick. Anyway, Monday I felt sick, Tuesday, and I was sitting on the couch with Toby. And I was like, oh, God, it feels like someone's punching me in the guts, like stabbing me. And I thought, I'll just go to the doctor. I rang Dr. Colin Leong. My doctor couldn't get me in. So awkward.
Dr. Leong would drop everything for you.
I cheated on him and went to a different doctor.
Well, don't cheat on Dr. Leong.
I cheated on him. Okay. And I went down the road and I went in and she said straight away, I think you should go to the hospital. So I drove myself to Cabrini and down in Malvern and they put me straight into emergency, jabbed me in the bum with some morphine.
Oh.
Without even checking, I'm like, oh, I must be really sick.
Gee.
But anyway, I was watching the tennis. I was watching a bit of Sky, a bit of Ladbrokes.
You're worried at this stage?
No, not really. I was just really enjoying just being looked after. You know, when you're in hospital.
Oh, yeah.
You just get looked after.
I
really like it. And anyway, I had a CT scan. Geez, they've advanced in CT scans.
Mm.
Mate, I went in there and they jab you with this thing that makes your body go really hot and like you're about to wee yourself. And they said, you're going to feel like you wee yourself. It flushes everything out. Right. You go in for a scan, 3 minutes, done. You know when you go in those things and it takes 20 minutes, it's like...
Yeah, the MRI.
Yeah, it takes ages. Mate, I was in there for 3 minutes. I was going, because I was on morphine at the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is amazing. This is like a drive-through CT scan. And they were like, oh, this bloke's cooked. Anyway, the doctor came in and said, I've got appendicitis. I went in, had the operation, obviously, the next day, and they also found a hernia. And I had a bit of, there was a lot of fat.
Talk us through this fat.
Well, there was a big strip of fat that was wrapped around like an organ or something that was causing the pain and I couldn't breathe. And they had the gas mask on me for a long time after the surgery because I was finding it hard to breathe.
Mm.
But I said to him, mate, when you're under, why don't you just take the rest of the fat? And this is the exact words that the doctor said. He said, because I didn't know where to start and I didn't know where to end. Oh, ouch.
That's a little harsh.
Ouch.
You know what, though? Because you were explaining this to me last week. I want to get into this bit of fat. So it was a strip of fat.
Just fat. Now, that's that yellow stuff I sent you.
I know, but it shouldn't be where it was.
No.
Was it like just had a mind of its own fat?
Well,
like,
I think where the fat goes was full. Needed to be emptied. So it just started freezing
down.
I don't know.
So
I'm not a doctor. But
essentially, it shouldn't have been
dangerous.
Where it was.
Yeah, it was very dangerous.
Far
if I hadn't let it cut going for a couple more days, I could have been in a bit of trouble.
I mean, that is like...
I had a wake-up call.
Well, you got opened up. They were going for your appendix.
And it was all about that bloody lady in Japan that did the thing. Oh God!
About she
the...
did. She did foresee that you'd have a surgery.
Oh my God! Yeah. It's bloody blown my mind.
What she didn't foresee though, would there be a giant random lump of fat in there?
But it was like the way you explained it to me. You might have forgotten.
I think she's actually seen that before. She read. You should see my stomach.
You were sort of on morphine, but you were saying it's this big, long strip thing.
Yeah, strip.
It sounded like an eel had like wrapped itself around your organ.
Yeah, or a snake.
Here's the thing. They opened you up. They went for your appendix. They found more than what they bargained for.
They did.
They got a hernia
they got
and
a three-for-one
strip of fat. Yeah. But I love these stories because people go in for one surgery.
Right.
And then when they wake up, you often get a, you'll never guess what we found. And I'd love to ask, 131060, they found a strip of fat inside Feb that should not have been wrapped around those organs. Yeah. What did you find inside you?
Well,
or what was found inside
you? What's your wording there?
Sorry, what?
131060, what was in you that somebody took out?
What?
Like a doctor?
Yeah, no, okay.
I'll tell you what.
It sort of shouldn't have been in there.
Do people sometimes, if a bad doctor has done some operations, have you heard that certain implements get
gauze
accidentally left
gets
in?
Trapped in you?
Yeah.
Speaking about
needles?
Something that was in you that shouldn't have been in you.
131060.
There's not little ears in the car yet.
Well,
so when I went to the toilet.
Oh, can we take a break?
I'm in here though.
No, okay,
I don't want to hear this.
Play another crap song.
131060 is the number. We'll come back.
1019 The Fox.
Tell you what, I'm feeling for Her Majesty the Queen this morning. She is having a mare.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, I just thought you were going to go. Someone did have something inside of them.
Oh, sorry. Well, no, Leon just brought this piece of paper into me. We'll get to it soon. It is a shocker.
Wow.
I've got an update on the royal family.
Oh, good.
Far out.
Good.
But in the meantime, we have asked the question, 131060, what did you find inside you?
And I said...
Because Fev, he had his operation the other day, and he found, well, not only did they find his appendix, which needed to be removed, they found a hernia and this weird long strip of fat that just was wrapped around an organ that shouldn't have been.
Right.
Like, you don't expect that.
I did have bacon the night day before. Oh, it was a big strip, might have been.
It's like your fat's got a mind of its own, and it's like it's working against you.
Yeah, well, I'm glad it sort of does, because I've actually lost a bit of weight from the surgery, and it's actually been a reality check, Boxy. I need to get healthy.
Okay.
I don't know. I've had a few issues.
Jenny Craig.
I did that.
Yeah,
but
no.
That was fun.
Light and easy.
Well, if
man
I want to come on board.
Man shakes
did that.
Yeah, a crack.
No. But when you live life and you think you're invincible, and I thought, done Jenny Craig, I'm fine.
Yep.
But then once you get something and you have an operation for it, it really hits home. You think, oh, I'm getting old.
And
I'm nearly 40. Like you guys, you're low 40s.
Thank
you're
you.
Nearly 50.
That's not true.
And you start to think, wow, this is the end.
Oh, no.
But if you don't look after yourself,
absolutely,
it can come quicker.
As a young kid,
you never think that stuff.
No, you're very, very.
So I need
true,
to get healthy.
Fair.
I brought my porridge in this morning. I got addicted to that.
Okay.
Everyone's
good
going,
good
oh, I don't
you.
Have too much endone. You get addicted to endone. Nah, porridge. Hospital porridge is good.
Okay. Really?
I mean, call me a little bit cynical. Fev won't be eating porridge in a week.
Bernie in Oak Park.
Challenge.
Hey, Bernie.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, Bernie. Bernie, now you are an operating theatre nurse, so you'd see...
That's right,
you're in operations all the time. What have you found in somebody?
We operated on a patient that had just come back from overseas and had to have surgery overseas for his appendix out. Mm-hmm. But when we operated on him, we found his appendix.
What?
What?
So what did that... Bernie, do you know what they removed?
No, actually, they told him they took his appendix out and his surgery was successful.
We're gonna need to know what country that was.
Wow.
I don't know.
Please find out.
It was something South America.
Okay, somewhere in South America, they're claiming that they're taking your appendix out, but they're leaving it in there.
They've taken a vital organ. They've taken a liver or a kidney.
Or they took nothing. Because I'd do that.
No,
if I opened someone up and I didn't know what I was doing, I'd go...
I'd take a kidney.
There we go. Good job. As you were.
1019. The Fox. The Fox.
Now, I really feel for the Queen. She is having an absolute mare. What a disaster. So she's had the Megxit scandal. Prince Harry and Meghan have left her high and dry, gone off to greener pastures in North America. She's effectively just lost her grandson and her great-grandson. Won't get to see them very often. Prince Philip, he's been in and out of hospital recently. Prince Andrew's back.
Oh, no.
He's, just quickly, Thomas Markle's done another interview, on a British breakfast show, so that'll be causing mayhem. But Prince Andrew, this is not good for him. He's a wanted man. This is breaking news. The head of the FBI has just come out and said we need to talk to him, and he's been uncooperative. He's apparently not been cooperating with authorities. This is regarding convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. So
have they hidden him? How do they not know where he is? It's FBI. Know.
I saw him. He was hunting with his brother Edward yesterday at Sandringham. I'm not kidding. There were photos of them on horses.
They should have asked. The FBI should ask you where he is.
He's been laying low, but he has not been cooperative. And you remember he did come out and he said at the end of last year, I'm willing to help any appropriate law enforcement agency with the investigations. But they've front-footed it at a press conference this morning. Mm. And he is now officially a wanted man by the FBI.
Mate, the Queen must be thinking, what's happened? Like, this, she's a tough cookie.
This could be her done.
It could be.
I mean, honestly, if he gets arrested. Oh, sorry, I know that was a bit full on, but I mean this. This is full. That poor woman, what she's going through. Just think about your own grandparents. Like, her son, and allegedly her favourite son, I don't know how Charles and Edward feel about that, but he could be arrested and he could end up convicted. I mean, this is so full on. So, this is all breaking as we speak.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Who knows where this is going to head?
Yeah.
Well, if he's the favourite, then Charles and Edward might be thinking, put him in the slammer. We might become the favourite. Well, it's taken all that time.
You're right.
Okay.
It's like when I was went down and hit bottom. Jason was wrapped.
101.9 The Fox.
Well, we know this man from the world of celebrity gossip and, of course, from I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here last night. Gee, this was quite the finish. Let's have a listen.
Perez.
I hope it's me.
It might be you.
I hope so.
Which means it's between Rhonda, Miff, and Perez, the celebrity who must immediately depart the jungle is... It's Perez.
Yes! Thank you.
Perez.
Thank you, Australia.
We'll see you upstairs.
He's here.
See you later.
Adios. It was a pleasure meeting most of you.
All the way from the South African jungle, Perez Hilton, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Oh, Perez, you've been out for quite a few hours now. How are you feeling? Are you missing the camp at all?
I'm not missing the camp.
Now, Perez, what campmates didn't you like meeting?
I definitely think Australia got it right today. If I was a viewer of the show, I would have voted me out today, too, because I would have wanted the people that were in there from day one that have had to suffer for two more weeks than I did to stay until the very end, even if I didn't particularly like any of the other people. So I'm in agreement with Australia today. They definitely got it right that I left, and I will be in agreement with Australia after Miguel wins on Sunday night.
Do you know, Perez, I want to talk about Bananagate, because I actually believe you were right, Perez. I thought what you said was bang on, and I thought you were given a hard time over that, and there seemed to be a bit of a fallout from it.
Oh, but Ryan, give up your banana.
Well, I agree, Ryan, stay out of it.
Well, just give up your banana.
I absolutely agree with you, clearly, but I also understand where they were all coming from. That experience is so extreme that even if you don't like everybody that you're in camp with, they had all been in this experience together for 2 weeks. So you just bond with people because you need to, because you're all just wanting to survive. So even though I felt I was in the right, and I still do, I understand why all the campmates had the reaction they did.
You're very evolved, Perez. You're very evolved, and I really respect that. So thank you so much.
I appreciate you, and please vote for Miguel. Bye.
Well, for those who didn't watch it, Bananagate, what was the big deal?
Okay, I've got to give you a peek behind the curtains because this just has to be done.
Yeah.
We actually spoke to Perez, obviously, earlier this morning because he's in the jungle.
Mm.
So that's an edit.
Right.
It was so heavily edited because he gave us nothing because we hammered him about. But, well, Bananagate, Byron, to explain, Charlotte doesn't eat oats. And Brian wanted her to have a whole banana. And Perez said, and I agree with him,
yes,
and I love Charlotte, don't get me wrong.
Right.
If you're going on the show, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, you're going to eat food you don't like.
That's the whole show.
Eat the oats, Charlotte. Just eat the oats.
No, fair enough.
They're oats. They're not like, you know, Impala anuses. That's what other people are eating. No, but I'm serious. They're just enough. Oats. Anyway, sorry. My peek behind the curtain was because he is such a savvy operator. We were asking, we came in on every angle saying to him, but come on, who didn't you like? You walked off without saying goodbye. And he's like, no, I said my goodbyes before. He was very diplomatic.
He's the celebrity gossip guy. He played us at the game that we were trying to play him on.
Know.
He gave us bugger all.
Drats. Also, well, I'm going to wait and see. Has he done an exclusive with some
newspaper
or something?
Perez.
He was not giving us much.
All right, 8 a.m. by the way, you're shot at 10 grand when we play Alpha Bucks here at the Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
The Royals have never been more across the news. We just said there's an FBI, essentially a warrant out for Prince Andrew. They want him to talk to him. And Thomas Markle's just jumped on the telly again over in the UK, done a little interview. Now, he's addressed a few things. We've got the audio of it. Is it just to me? I don't know that he's well. Like, he doesn't sound great in these grabs when you hear him talk.
Quite a slurry kind of.
Well, he did have the heart attack.
Right.
And he's had an operation on his heart, but he's not sounding great.
It doesn't sound good at all, Boxy.
Look, I've always defended Thomas in that I just feel like he was an everyday man that was thrust into the spotlight and wasn't brought up with the tools to deal with that, how to handle paparazzi, how to handle people ringing your phone and trying to get information out of you. And I just feel like Harry and Meghan have been a bit tough on him. But now he's gone, oh, well, if they don't want anything to do with me, I will keep talking.
Oh, boy.
So it's hard to defend him at the moment. I wish he'd sort of stop talking.
I'd love to know what the whole situation is, though, because she, watching a few of the documentaries, he put her through a great school, paid for everything, college, was always there, she was there, and then all of a sudden it just, something happened. Can you remember we were saying something must have happened with the father,
yes.
And we were totally against old Tommy.
Yeah.
And now I'm sort of with him. I'm like, well, why isn't she talking to him?
Up until a year before they married, she did on Father's Day a beautiful post about how wonderful her dad was. So it's not as if they were estranged.
No.
But anyway, he's come out. He's got an opinion on the fact that a lot of people are accusing. Well, yeah, a lot of people are accusing the British press and public for being racist. Their treatment of Meghan was racist. This is what his opinion is on that.
I haven't noticed it in England at all. I think England is even far more liberal than the United States when it comes to races. So I don't think that she's being bullied in any way or any shape.
Wow.
And then if you think about why is he doing these interviews, and he's constantly doing interviews over the past week, probably, yes, he's being paid for them, but he's now claiming that the interviews are his only way of sort of reaching out to them.
For me, there is no other way to reach them. I pretty much will give an interview and wait for 30 days for some kind of answer back. If I don't get one back, then I'll try another interview. That's about the only shot I have.
So just Harry and Meg's going, he'll stop this. He'll run out of gas. No, he's going to keep going, guys, until you answer his call and let him meet his grandson.
He sounds crook.
He does.
Did he sound like that like a year or two ago?
He's clearly not a public speaker. He's not somebody, he's definitely sounding a bit slurry. And that's part of me just thinks life's too short. Reach out to your dad. It's getting so ugly. It's about to get uglier because he is now basically issuing a warning to Harry that he'll see him in court.
Man up and fly down and see me.
Thomas
and we'll talk. If it comes to meeting them in a courtroom, that's great. At least I finally get to see them.
I mean, just, you know what, sometimes in life you just get caught up in your stress and your anger and you're holding grudges. My message to Harry and Meghan, let it go.
Yeah.
Just let it go. Move on. Reconnect. You only get one family.
You do. You don't get to, and you don't get to choose them either. Sometimes you wish you do.
Is that a shout out to Ange?
No, that wasn't my, I had an out, but then I was funnier with that one.
I know.
What's your other one out of interest?
I don't know.
No, go on, give it to us.
Talk to me about it. They're about to play.
Oh.
The Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
Yes, everyone goes back to school, year 2020. Everyone goes another year level. Lenny's in year 8. Lulu goes to grade 5. And most parents now will be dropping their kids off on their way, making the lunches, the lunchbox, trying to get everything healthy. Yeah. Because the teachers now take away all the bad stuff.
What do you mean?
Remember we did that rave last year?
They can't take it away.
They take away like the chocolate bars.
Isn't
and the
that
wrappers.
Just some schools?
Some schools. Yeah, some schools do that. And I just think they should stay out of their little lunchboxes.
We'll feed our kids.
Yes, we'll feed our kids, which is a great point. But parents do. It's a big time. It's a big time. Little preppies will be starting soon.
Yes.
And most parents dropping their kids off, and I'm not one of these, will be like, oh, thank God the holidays are over. It's been 6.5 weeks. I am done. I want to go have a coffee by myself. I want to go watch a movie by myself. I just want to sit on the couch without having screaming kids. Are you?
No, you're my way. Well, yes, I want to homeschool her. Yeah, I miss her. I don't want her to go back.
Well, my kids go back Thursday, Boxy, and I am dreading it. I'll have Toby at home, yes. But obviously Alex will go off to work or do what she needs to do, and I'll come home because I'm at work in the morning.
Yes,
I love having my kids, and I can't wait to pick them up at 3 o'clock or 3:30, and then it's the fun starts, and it's just good to have. It's like a I don't know. It's not that I'm lonely, but it's just good to have them next to you or near you and knowing that they're in the house. Yes. Especially when Toby starts to be like, ah, and I'm like, Lenny, come and help Dad with the baby. I am solo now. Like, oh, Alex will be there, but and Mia's at home, but she will start uni again. But I want my kids to be at home. Is that weird?
No, it's not. And I was with you, and I am with you on all of this. And then it just occurred to me, maybe you sort of want somebody to run and get nappies and change.
Oh, no, I'm happy to do that. Oh, yeah. I change the nappies, but it's just good to have that sounding like someone there.
Oh, I agree. I love, I mean, I've said this before. I think I had Daisy, so I didn't have to keep losing, you know, because Trixie was off to school. Well, I was like, I don't want to lose my kids.
This feels like a cry for help from both of you.
No, but I know mums that drop their kids off right now and we're going, oh, like it would be like they've just been, a valve's been taken out and it's, oh, God, I can breathe again. But I'm like, no, I don't want to breathe.
I agree.
I need more kids.
You can't. You're snipped. 1019. The Fox. Such sad news yesterday, the passing of Kobe Bryant and his gorgeous 13-year-old daughter Gigi and the other seven people on that helicopter that went down over Calabasas. His impact on the world was felt yesterday, and phenomenal to think that as an athlete you can have that sort of power and that sort of influence over so many people. And Fev, I know you've got some really strong feelings about this, and I just thought it'd be interesting to take people back to this time last year. In fact, March last year, Kobe visited Melbourne, and he doesn't do many interviews. In fact, while he was here, he did two interviews, and one of them was with you, Fev. It was a one-on-one, and I just wanted to take you back to this too, Fev, because so poignant that Kobe was talking to you about his family.
You just spoke about your wife. She's pregnant with your fourth daughter.
Fourth daughter, man.
Mate, how does it go with a house full of girls? Because I've just had my fourth daughter.
Yeah.
My wife gave birth to
congratulations,
little, thanks,
man.
Thanks, man. Little Toby a couple of months ago. So
yeah.
I've got four girls as well.
All right. So, yeah. You know, you're ahead of me.
Yes.
But I think our the similarities that we have in the household is we know pretty much that there's nothing that we can say. Because anytime we say something, we're basically speaking to ourselves.
Yeah, we're never right.
No, so you might as well just turn around and just speak to the wall.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's listening to you.
I often do that. I say something to my kids, and they don't do anything, because I'm fun time dad.
Yeah, you don't listen to
you. But then when mum says something, they do it.
Oh, yeah, they don't listen
to
you.
I'm like, how does that work?
No, they don't listen to you. And my kids would come up to me and go, hey, dad, can I have some ice cream? I'm like, yeah, I think you already ate dinner. I think it's cool. And they go, Mom, can I have some ice cream? I'm like, dude, you just asked me. I said, yeah. I said, no, we got to check with Mom first. I'm like, what did you ask me for? I mean, it's crazy.
Any of the girls basketballers, are they athletic?
Yeah, so our eldest daughter plays volleyball, and she's really focused on
volleyball's
that.
Volleyball's tough.
Volleyball's tough, man. And she's 6 feet. She enjoys playing.
Yeah.
Our middle daughter is a basketball obsessive. She just learned how to play about a year and a half ago, but she practices every single day, and like she's going for it.
Awesome.
She's going for it. And our little one, she's 2. I don't know what she's going to do, but this kid is a little tornado. Like, doesn't sit down for anything, climbing up her stuff. And, like, you turn your back 1 minute, she's all the way over. You're like, what are you doing? You know, she's one of those kids, so I don't know what she's going to do.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. Well, good luck in the upcoming birth.
Thank you.
With girls are the best. They do run the world. They tell me every day that they're the boss, and we're just their servants. That's what they tell me.
Hey, man. That's a beautiful problem to have, brother.
Hey, thanks for coming out to Australia, and, mate, all the best.
Oh, man.
Yeah, a bit chilling, isn't it? He was amazing, and... you know, when you do a radio interview, Boxer, you get a list of things that you can't ask the star. And family was one of them that was on that list that we weren't allowed to mention his family because he's a very private family man. But he brought up about his wife. So I thought, oh, this would be, you know, we're cheeky when we do it. So I thought we'd bring up, and then we just went on and spoke about his kids and
his pride, just hearing his pride then in his, and that. the happiness in his voice talking about them and mentioning his middle daughter who's just started playing basketball.
Well, that's exactly right, Boxy. Because throughout the interview, he's like, it was the same sort of answers that he'd given her. But as soon as he started speaking about his kids, it's when he dropped his guard and the love for his children did come out. And I think it's amazing that you look at all the pictures and everything that happened, and it's such a tragedy, but there wasn't many pictures of him playing basketball or slam dunks showed a lot about his 60-point game, which was the last game he played, but every picture was with his kids. His family, he was such a great family man. And obviously with Gigi, who he was, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. They had the same shot. There's pictures going around with it, just exactly the same. They're playing in the gym. It was literally a little mini me of Kobe. And he spoke about her then and said she just loves basketball. And it was an interview where he was on Fallon or one of those. And everyone goes up, because I always say to me, when are you going to have a boy? And he mentions this. They said, when are you going to have a boy, you know, to have the legacy go on and the Kobe Bryant name? And Gigi came in and said, hey, I've got this. I've got this covered. I'm going to be the star. And he did a lot for female basketball, women's basketball in America with the WNBA, which Gigi probably would have played and would have starred in. He was taking kids like our very own Liz Cambage, who's Australian, taking them for private lessons and teaching them. You just walk up to them and say, he was so invested in women's sport. And we lost a good guy. We lost a lot of people yesterday. But, you know, Kobe Bryant wasn't just the basketballer. He was the family man, a husband, and he won an Oscar. Yeah, he was an amazing man.
Yeah, Fifi Fev Byron, if you want to watch that interview, it is quite something. Fifi Fev Byron on the Insta.
101.9 The Fox.
Can we just cover off the exit, the almost rude exit last night on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, where Perez Hilton, he was evicted. He said, yep, excellent, and then he walked off. Like, usually they spend a minute hugging every campmate, giving them a nice message. He picked up his bag, gave no cast member eye contact, and then he said these words. We'll play a grab of it, what he said.
It's Perez.
Yes! Thank you. Perez. Thank you, Australia.
See you upstairs.
He's here.
See you later.
Adios. It was a pleasure meeting most of you.
Now, we just had him on the show before, and we should have known better. He's a gossip columnist. He knows what creates a headline.
Right.
He gave us nothing.
Absolutely.
He
donuts.
Refused to dish the dirt on who he was talking about. I know that's Ryan. He hated Ryan. Maybe Charlotte too.
Yeah. Well, the protocol when you go out is they all line up and you walk out and they whack you on the bum and you give a couple. It takes a long time.
You've bonded
usually
with
they tell you over the PA, like the people that you talk to in the talky, you need to leave now.
Yeah,
like it's time
out,
to go because we're on TV time. And I remember when Akmal, who went out first, he wanted to leave the show from day one.
Yes, he hated it.
And he got voted out after the 2 weeks. He ran back in and said, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. It was all a joke. And he ran up the tree. The producers had to come in and they played it. They were pulling him off the tree. He's like, I don't want to leave, because he didn't want to leave. But he literally, Perez, mate, he grabbed his stuff. It was already packed. He was in the tunnel when Julia and Chris were in the tunnel. They looked back and were like, hang on, mate. We've got to get back up to the treehouse.
Yeah. He's like, I'm coming with you guys.
No, no, no. They're like, no.
We don't want
you. But you know what it's reminding me of? And I thought, and we were all texting each other in this team, because we were waiting for after the ad break when he got up there with Chris and Julia. And I was like, this is going to be good. He's going to tee off. And he didn't. So Perez was disappointing in lots of ways. Yeah, I know. And Chris didn't give you much either. Why does no one give us stuff? But you know what I love about this? And I think we always dream about it. It's that when he walked off, didn't say goodbye, didn't shake anyone's hand and just said, it was nice meeting most of you. You know, when you leave a workplace or a team or somewhere you've worked for a while, you've been around, and if that final parting blow is often something you dream about, and then you get the chance to do it. And I thought it would be good to hear on 131060, if you've had your parting words, if you've been able to leave a workplace, get up, tell everyone what you think and walk off. It's almost like a drop the mic moment. Yep. Like, yep, I've nailed this.
Yeah, I always used to think that, because when you get footy, obviously you get to retire and you do all that, you get out in front of the boys, and then the people you just want to just pick off on the side.
Yeah.
But I got sacked from two different establishments, so I never got to say anything. I never got to go back. I never got my parting words.
I
got parted.
I watched this. Now, if this is inspiration for any of your stories, 131060, Byron Cook a few years ago, we worked at another radio station, Fev. And Byron Chantuzzi's. Was leaving. He was leaving to head off to America to get married.
But he found love.
And also to work on radio over in America.
Found it was love. My dream to be the next Ryan Seacrest.
So Byron, is it true? Is it okay if I say you thought I'm leaving this dump
and
I'll
Rich.
Never have to come back?
Why is it always the desk jockey that loves that? Aaron Rich told me you want to be the next Ryan Seacrest. Want to be the next Ryan Seacrest?
Clearly hasn't worked out for either of us. No, I did believe that I was off to greener pastures and I felt that I would never return to Australia because I had a wonderful fiancé. I was ready to set up a whole new life in America. So, yeah, when I parted ways with that particular rock station, I may have mentioned that I didn't think they were heading in the right direction.
I was in the room. He unleashed. It was all the staff members. We're all standing there. We all love Byron. He's just gone, yep, you know what? You're stuffing up the music. You've got no idea when it comes to good talent. You don't respect what announcers have to say. I'm out of here.
He was right.
There is an argument to say he did know what he was talking about. But my favourite part of all that was Byron did that. He's walked off into the sunset. A few years later, called up for a job. Can I come back?
In America, the global financial crisis hit hard and I desperately needed to return to Australia and I had to beg that same person for my job back.
Wow. But 13, 10, 60, I love this. Have you had your parting words? You're fired and maybe it did backfire.
We've got a big meeting after work with our big boss, Gemma.
Yeah. What are you going to say?
Might unleash.
Yeah, what are you going to say?
You're not leaving. 13 10 60. Give us a call right now if you've had that moment, that Perez Hilton
still
moment.
Unleash.
Okay.
101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
We were just reliving the moment on I'm a Celeb last night when Perez left the jungle without shaking someone's hand. He didn't hug any of the fellow campmates. He didn't even look them in the eye. It was shocking. Like, we literally texted each other immediately because it was like, what was that? But he didn't dish the dirt. So he's playing it very cool because he's obviously a well-practiced media personality who knows.
Right.
I'm not going to give anyone clickbait. But it did reek of leaving somewhere and saying, nice to know most of you. See you later, guys. I'm not even going to say goodbye.
Like, it was rude. It was abrupt.
Oh, it was such a rude exit.
He'll get on the plane, fly out the front, land in America, and we'll just wipe that whole experience.
Absolutely.
He will never, ever, ever
take his cash and run.
Think about anyone in that show ever again.
But sometimes you fantasize about how you'd like to exit a place, and we want to hear your stories about, did you follow through with it? Rachel from Werribee. Hi, Rach.
How you going?
Yeah, good. Rach, did you get to have your parting words?
Oh, I did it in a big way.
What'd you do?
I spent hours and hours and hours working on nutritionally accredited menus. I was a chef.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a new manager just before I left and she treated me like absolute dirt. So I took the menus and the recipes with me.
Well done.
Rach, did she follow up? Was she ringing you, texting, give them back?
I was in so much trouble.
Much trouble?
I didn't get a reference and I almost didn't get a payout.
Didn't you make them up?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, well, they're yours.
No, it's like stuff on this radio show. If we make stuff up to broadcast, we don't get to keep it.
It's the property of the company.
It's property of the company.
Yeah, but it's out there. We can still use it.
Well,
I don't think you can.
She was on there.
She was paid to come up with those ideas and those menus.
Wow.
And they've gone, we own them. Rach,
thank you, Rach.
That's a serious exit there. You could have got sued. Aaron from South Yarra. Hi, Aaron.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Good, Aaron. Looking forward to your story. Did you let everyone know how you felt as you walked out the door?
Yeah, well, look, a few years ago I used to work for a major supermarket retail chain. It's fairly popular.
There's a whole range of chains and it could be any number of them.
They
continue.
Said popular.
Continue.
Exactly. But I was the front-end manager and after a weekend, which didn't really go so well for me, I just had a very hard, tiring weekend, a customer pushed me over the edge, was very rude to me. And at that point, I decided to pick up the store's PA system, where, you normally call someone up the front.
Yeah.
And I've taped the mic button, and I've gone, attention, staff and customers, I effing hate every single one of you, I'm out. Dropped the microphone on the desk, and it made this big bang noise, and wandered out.
Oh, wow, you win.
Yeah, we're not going to beat that. Oh. That's the Fox.
101.9 The Fox.
Well, Aaron's dropped the mic moment inside of the supermarket where he's resigned over the PA and just left. Bang.
Surely he said he hated everybody and dropped the PA.
There is no more dramatic exit from a job than that, surely. But we are assured there are more calls.
Imagine if you were shopping and you're just going to get your fruit and veg and your meat. You've got the kids in the trolley.
Oh, boy.
And old mate comes over. You're like, whoa.
That's the best. Oh, Debbie in Endeavour Hills. Another supermarket-related story, Debbie.
Good day, everyone. Yes, another supermarket story. I was used to travel with my boss to work, and this is going back 40-odd years ago, and she sort of got narky because her boyfriend liked me a bit. She used to wear a wig at the time.
What did she used to do? We just missed that last bit because you distracted us slightly. What was it?
She was narky because the boyfriend used to talk to me a lot.
Right.
Right.
So she stopped giving me lifts to work, to and back from work.
Oh,
okay. I had to catch a bus, and I lived out in the country, and to get into work, always the first bus always made me a bit late. So she put in a complaint to the boss that I was always late, and I got caught in one day, and they sacked me. Oh. And she used to wear a wig that used to look like the old 60s wig with a curl up the top and a little bow on the top.
She wore a wig?
Yeah, boss. She wore a wig.
Oh, the boss, right.
So I walked out, and she was the front floor manager. So when I walked out, I walked up to her, pulled a wig off, smiled and said, have a nice day, and left.
1019 The Fox.
Now, this doesn't happen very much, Fev, particularly on this show. So I'm going to say it. I'll probably just say it once, so enjoy it while it happens.
Is it about me? Or?
No. Premier Daniel Andrews may be making a good move.
Whoa! You've never said that.
Wow!
No, he is introduced today. Public school students are going back today. Various schools across Melbourne are returning today and across the rest of the week. But it is now illegal. There is a ban for students to have mobile phones at school. So they can drop them off when they turn up. They get to collect them as they leave. But during the school day, they will have no mobile phones. And I
Mate,
welcome
some
this.
Some
Beth.
Parents have been outraged by this, saying my kid will go nuts because they don't have a... No. You don't need a phone at school.
Well, we didn't have
one. No, we didn't have a phone. I mean, you need to go to school to learn
I'm
boxing.
Interested in you saying that, Fev, and we're going to open the phone lines 131060. How do you feel about this? Are you pro it? Are you against it? Because I haven't heard why the parents are against it, only because this is where I come from. 20 years ago, you didn't have, this wasn't even an issue because there were no mobile phones, and we found things to do at school that didn't require scrolling through our phones. Yes. So it is doable, people.
100%. Human interaction's gone, Boxy. The robot is coming in.
Yes.
And this is what the problem is with phones, because I watched my daughter rang me on FaceTime late last year, Lenny, and she was like, I could see her on the FaceTime. She was ringing me about something. I put money in her account so she could buy something in the canteen.
Was this from school?
This is from school because it's lunchtime. And they're all sitting in a circle. Every single kid had their head in their phone.
Mm.
And I'm like, it's lunchtime. I remember when I was at school at lunchtime, I couldn't wait to get out and play cricket, jump on the monkey bars or play footy, just be out there and burn all your energy. Like, because you've been sitting in a classroom, you want to get out and run. I would love to have a video of schools at lunchtime in the next week just to watch to see what kids do. Because they won't know what to do.
Fev, I agree. Because of mobile phones and now we're all connected through social media, social skills are not being developed.
No,
like there are honestly, there will be children, if they've had a phone all through their school, they will not know what to do with themselves. And we talk about anxiety-related disorders. And if you don't, for some children to lose their phones this week, they might start becoming anxious, but they've got to get through that because it's actually an addiction. And there are universities and lecture professors who are really delving into the addiction
to social
media and phones.
Boxy, and they're saying that they are worse than poker machines, how addictive poker machines are to adults. Mobile phones are more addictive than poker machines.
Mm.
And I, do you
That's
know
a
what?
Big stat.
And I'll say this, it's off topic in a way. But
we don't have our phone
over
here.
The holidays, while we've been away, I will look at my phone first thing in the morning, and you guys know this well, I won't pick it up till about 6. So if you're urgently trying to get me, you just have to drive over because I'm just deciding.
So you're inviting everyone to come over?
Sure. Now we'll pop in then.
Not
interesting.
Not really. But what I mean is, I feel.
How would we know that, by the way?
But I feel. No, because Well,
I can tell. No, I can tell, Fief, because on WhatsApp, you can see when they last signed in, and I can look at Fief and go, oh, she hasn't been on since 7:42 a.m.
Stalker.
Yeah.
Well, I could just. It's been a bit sometimes much. We need to contact
that's
you.
A bit much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But anyway, I'm just saying, I feel better for it, and I think we would all feel better
great,
for it.
I think it's a
great
move.
We backed off our phones and backed off social media.
They
all
should do private school as well. They should do every school.
It's only at public schools. It would be great to see.
Is it a trial or is it just it's in?
No, Andrews has gone. It's happening.
Wow. We should get him on.
Fine. We haven't gone that far yet. Anyway, 131060, call now. Are you pro this? Are you anti it? Let's hear the debate.
I'd be intrigued to hear the argument.
That's what I want to hear.
It. Yeah, that would be fascinating. Like, why? Anyway.
Remember last year when I went to pick up my daughter and the three Uber Eats drivers wrote it up and gave someone lunch?
No.
Remember that? I was thinking about it. They ordered off the phone.
Kids, put your Deliveroo down, kids. 131060 is the number. We'll get to those calls. There's plenty of them coming through. This will be a hot topic.
1019. The Fox.
Okay, we were just talking about the big ban that's been introduced this week into public schools, no mobile phones for kids. So definitely for the way to school and the way home, because I think that's important, and I will be arming my kids with phones when it's an appropriate age so that they can communicate with me if because the number of times I was left outside the school gate because someone forgot to pick me up.
Yeah. Well, Lulu
Mum's listening. That didn't happen.
No.
It happened once.
No.
You know, Mrs. Ward didn't come and get me, but that was just the one time.
Lulu got a phone when she was 9 for school. She went to a new school, so for when we pick her up to let her know where we're going to be, but she doesn't have it in class, has it in her bag, and she doesn't use it at school, but only after school. But Lenny, who is in high school, uses her phone all the time.
Right.
And we were just saying, and I think there is definitely something to be said for kids not learning social skills these days, not getting enough time to evolve socially, because that's the thing. You know, by the time you get to an adult and you're working in a workplace, you've figured things out. And I think we try not to wrap our kids in cotton wool anymore, but they've got to get out there into a school and they've got to deal with people that disagree with them. They've got to deal with, we try to stamp it out, but there is bullying around. There's different personalities. But when you sit on your phone all lunchtime and you're not talking, as you said that, you know, Lenny sits there and all the friends are on their mobile phones, they're not communicating and learning how to socialise. So we were saying, the three of us are all pretty much for this ban, but we know that parents have fired up and they're against it. So we'd love to hear some opinions. We've got Emma in North Borwen. Hi, Emma.
Oh, hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Emma, what do you think about the mobile phone ban?
Well, this is actually the first time I've called up. My son goes to an independent school near me, a boys' school, and they banned it probably 2 years ago. And in fact, we were actually just having this conversation only a few days ago, and he found it's absolutely improved. Just the boys, how they relate to each other, and they're more interactive with each other. Otherwise, you know, they often, I would imagine, just sit there texting, you know, just playing on their phone, playing games, and that's just not good for them.
So it's worked.
100%.
Yeah.
That's worked. Everything you just said is the reason why they should be banned.
Thank you, Emma.
Now we've got Sabrina from Bulleen, just right next to North Borwen, with a different opinion. Yes. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, Sabrina. Now we want to hear, why do you disagree with the ban?
Yeah, sorry guys, I disagree. I just think that we need to teach our children the correct way to use their phones instead of taking it away from them. You know, I don't have any kids myself, but I am a business owner and my phone, social media and you know, having that technology is very important to my business, and I think that taking that away from children and not teaching them how to use it properly is just the wrong way to go. We're the future. We're not 20 years ago. We're 2020, and we really need to focus on teaching our kids the best way to use it.
Sabrina, I actually agree with you, and I think there should be classes that are committed to
iPads.
Social media education, technology education, how to use mobile. I actually agree with that element of what you're saying. But the bit I disagree with, Sabrina, is that there are addictive qualities like that are coming through that we are now realizing that phones can be addictive. And I think that we need to help our children. Our children are defenseless and they don't know what's happening to them. But if they are now in this addictive relationship with a mobile phone, then I think as parents and as teachers, we have to address that. So I do agree with the part of what you're saying.
We can't ban everything that's addictive.
But we ban cigarettes at school. We ban drugs at school.
Ban alcohol at school.
There are things that are quite addictive that I don't think are helping.
Well, the law would prohibit alcohol from being consumed at school.
Well, if you're 18, you could probably have it.
Okay. Well, I suppose if you're an 18-year-old, yeah, you're 12 student. 12, sure.
But it's like anything, you know, that we, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, but we have sex education. We should have, you've got to monitor the way our children handle things and consume things. And I think the phone is becoming a problem. But, you know, 100%. Sabrina, that is absolutely your point. I hear your point. And,
yeah, each
and
their own.
We welcomed it.
Thank you, Sabrina.
I thought you'd go a bit out of
there. No, I didn't. I actually agree.
She said was nonsense.
No, but what she said about...
She runs a business.
We can't deny mobile phones.
You can.
No, what I mean is...
kids are at school to learn. No, they're not there to use their phones.
No, I agree with you, but I agree with what Sabrina's saying. It's a new world. You can't just say, I want a world without mobile phones. That's not reality. So what she's saying, Ella, is if you're going to run a business, you need to know how to use your smartphone.
Yeah, but at school, they learn how to use their iPads, and their iPads are the same as their phone. We're talking about at lunchtimes and recesses. They don't need their phone. They need to be out there being active.
Yep, I agree with you. Arlene in Cranbourne North. Hi, Arlene.
Hello, how are you guys?
Great, Arlene. Arlene, where do you stand on the mobile phone at school issue?
Well, I say during school hours they must be banned.
Yeah.
They must be banned because children, as you have all been saying, they're no longer developing those social skills, which are imperative for them to grow up and to be decent human beings and adults. When we were at school, when we were bullied, you reported it if it was extreme. But other than that, we knew how to talk amongst ourselves and sort it out amongst ourselves. Therefore, as we grew up, we knew how to deal with tension and difficult situations, confrontation. We learnt about that through learning about bullying at school instead of now they're sitting around with their phones text messaging each other when they're 1 foot apart.
Bang.
They're not learning anything. Oh, they're not taking their heads out of their technology.
Drop the mic.
Mate, nailed it, Arlene. Beautiful.
Absolutely nailed
it.
Mate, Mia would be in her room and literally from the kitchen to her room would be 15 paces.
Mm.
What's for dinner? On a text.
Hang on. You've been up in the bedroom and asked the girls to go and get the Uber Eats.
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about kids.
This is about the kids. Thank you for all your calls.
100% carbon offset power you can be proud of.